Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Simpson, host of Speaking with Influence on Women Lead Radio. Today, my guest is Dr. Dolores Fazzino. With over 38 years of nursing experience and having assisted in approximately 9,000 surgeries, Dr. Dolores Fazzino knows what works to create positive outcomes for patients undergoing surgery. Gifted since she was a child with intuitive abilities, she's always been on the cutting edge in her career. She is not only a nurse practitioner, but she is a doctor of nursing practice, a medical advisor, and an author. And she's also a distinguished pioneer and visionary in bridging the world of spirituality and wellness. Her books help, How Do I Get the Most Out of My Healthcare Experience, is a must-have resource book to assist people to maneuver through the healthcare system. And with Spiritual Wellness for Life, share stories about these aha moments that change your life forever. And they are available over on her website, recoveringhealthcare.com. Dolores, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you here as a guest today.
Thanks, Deborah. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by your combination of spirituality and wellness. So when you say bridging the world of spirituality and wellness, what do you mean by that?
Well, spirituality is a word, well, it's a concept that kind of gets a little intertwined with religion. People think that they interface both of them thinking that they're the same thing, but spirituality and being religious are two separate concepts. Religion is an external type of concept where you are part of an external group, whereas your spirituality is more of a one-on-one situation where you are connected with your divinity and your higher self. So it's more of an individual inward type of process versus religion being an outward type of process. So when we are working on with our spirituality, it's more of a one-on-one type of one-on-one process, but also a one-on-one relationship that we have with our divinity. And you know, the spirituality, too, you know, is more of a feminine type of modality, whereas the masculine modality in our world is more about, you know, the art of thinking and doing. So what happens is that in the healthcare parameters, you know, when people are not really taking good care of themselves, they're always in the doing mode, and it's kind of counterintuitive. But I'm going to take it a step further. When you're doing, you're not allowing yourself to be. And when you're in be mode, that's when you could get in touch with your spirituality and connectiveness. When you're doing, and this is what our society is all about, see if this rings true to you, is that you're always needing to be productive to show your worth. You're needing to make things happen, maybe even force things to happen. But it's about producing. And in our society, we've gotten so lopsided that it has really involved detriment to our health as well. So when we are constantly doing, it's like we're thinking. When we're thinking, we're in our heads, and we're maybe worrying about things. You know, we're living in the past or living in the future. We're contemplating yesterday and worrying about tomorrow. But we're not really in our physical bodies and present. Now, when you go over to being, it's more of being in your physical body. You're in your heart space. You're in present time. You're in the moment. And you're in receptive mode instead of doing. And in that receptive mode, that's where our spirituality is. It's our connectedness to listen to our inner wisdom, that little voice that's within us sometimes that, you know, says, Deborah, you might want to do this, or what about this? And sometimes if you're not quiet enough to hear that, you miss the opportunities. So,
Is part of in being, when you say being mode, would that be something like using meditation, quiet time?
Yes, because it's about really slowing ourselves down enough so we could get in touch with who we are. A lot of times we distract ourselves by keeping busy, so we don't slow down enough to get to know who we are at a real intimate level. And the intimacy of ourselves is really about our spirituality.
Yes, and it's fascinating that you're able to put the two together. How do you do that in a medical environment? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, it's interesting because with my background, being in Western medicine, I've always been very interested in complementary and alternative medicine and integrative medicine. Even before I became a nurse a long time ago, I grew up in an environment where that was the norm in my environment. My parents and my grandparents on both sides very much were into the, I would say you want to call the spiritual or spirituality, but the connectedness to something within ourselves and our inner knowing. And so going back to how I work with this, with working with patients, is that in the field of surgery, I've always known that what we have done is really a Band-Aid technique. Say somebody comes to have surgery and they have breast cancer and they need to have, you know, a mastectomy and a lymph node dissection. And that's great. We cut out the bad parts, but we never really look at what was the emotional part of it, the mental part of it, and the spiritual part of it, because those are the three concepts that when you combine them with the physical and you work with that, you could have a complete healing and remission. When in Western medicine, they're very good at doing the physical stuff like the diet, the exercise, but, you know, the surgery and stuff like that. And I used to tell my surgeons, you know, when I work with them, what we're doing here is a Band-Aid technique, because if you don't address what created the need to have the surgery, guess what? They come back and they need to have another surgery. And I've witnessed that, especially with cancer patients. So I knew early on that dealing with, you know, maybe there's a belief that a person has that's deep-seated, maybe unconscious. Maybe there's a thought process. Or maybe, you know, they just don't handle stress very well. They, you know, they internalize stress, or they don't acknowledge the stress, or they don't acknowledge their feelings. And these are all these things are energy, okay? And what we know, energy is energy. If we choose to ignore it, it doesn't go away. It still is there. I call them like little bubbles that kind of get caught into your energy field, and they're still there because it's unresolved. And energy is energy. Unless it's dealt with and dissipated and transmuted, it's still there. So a lot of this stuff sometimes is there on an unconscious basis for people. And when that happens, and if it happens for a longer period of time, it eventually crosses over into the physical body. Especially if have a tendency to ignore your feelings or ignore your signs and symptoms in your body, maybe. You know, people think, oh, I'm perfectly healthy and stuff like that, but, you know, and I'm doing this, that, and the other, but it's like maybe there's something that they're still hanging on to from the past that they haven't forgiven, that's really eating away at them, basically. So what I do is go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you finish. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so when I work with these people, I usually work with them. If they're having surgery, I get them usually about a month before, and we do a really deep down dive about what's kind of going on with them and start doing things that they could start healing that, but also allowing them to learn how to be, because they've been lopsided on the, I call it the infinity sign, because one of them is doing and one of them is being. In our society, we're very lopsided or heavy on one end of that infinity sign, and it's about really balancing it out. It's not flipping 180 to the other side and totally ignoring the doing, because both are necessary, but it's knowing when to be and then when to do. So it's about really learning to connect with your inner knowingness and allowing you that to guide you, because so many times we give that away to something, to the external of us. So you make the right decisions for yourself. So it's empowering people to really take ownership of their health and wellness.
And do you think that busyness is more prevalent for women than for men?
Yes, I do, but I also see it in men as well. I think you're absolutely right on, Deborah, with that. It's the busyness, but it's also, I think, a part of our culture as well that, you know, women always need to be doing something, or, you know, they're raising a family, or they have they have a husband, they have children, they have a lot of responsibilities, and maybe they're even, you know, a woman in the corporate world. So, you know, add another layer of responsibility. So it's like they have a full plate, but yet they neglect themselves and put themselves last on the list. It's almost like it's a way of distracting yourself from not dealing with, you know, your stuff, or, you know, maybe some issues that you have as well. I think people are really good at the art of distraction. You know, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes we distract ourselves so much from really getting to a core issue that we have within ourselves that will really, it's really the key to unlock your future happiness. Once you deal
and
with
you
some of those really deep core-seated issues, it's like people just thrive and they are free after that. So, yes, go ahead.
Yes, and then so you work this into your speaking.
I do.
I know you have several topics about it. The one I'm looking at your website right now, and it's interesting, the topics that you have, manifesting your reality, what did you say, listening to that inner voice to make better decisions. So you're then definitely addressing this with audiences. When you're talking to your audience, is it primarily women that you're talking to?
Yes, it is. But, you know, like I said, there's more men becoming interested in these topics. And one of the last events that I spoke to, I would say there was probably about a third of the audience was men. So it's really starting to, men are starting to really realize that this is a concern as well, because really what it's about right now is we hear the divine feminine energy. You know, we talk about the divine mm-hmm. feminine and your feminine power. That's really come, that seems to be like the buzz right now for a lot of things, even in corporate America. We've been lopsided being in the masculine for so long that, you know, the divine feminine or the feminine aspect, it's the balance between doing and being. But it's also the balance of being able to be still and listen for things, because I think people are starting to really find out that people are starting to take ownership, that they realize that I'm in charge now and I could create what I want. There's still, you know, a good percentage of people that are blaming everything outside of themselves for their issues. And that's, you know, an interesting thing, especially what has happened with our last presidential election. You know, we, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not going to get political on anything, but it's been an observation how people think that one person could make their life happy or not. And I think this is a huge wake-up call for humanity, because truly we create our own reality. And people are saying, well, it's going to go back to the way it was. Well, I have news for you. Nothing could ever go back to the way it was. That's just not the way things are. You're going to continue to move forward. It's always going to change and ebb, but you can never go back. So, you know, I keep reminding people about that, but it's also, too, I said, you know, think about what you're wanting to create and what you're focusing on, because whatever you're focusing on yourself individually, whether you give your power away to somebody else or whether you want to create something different within yourself, you will create that reality for yourself. You are doing it to yourself. Nobody else is doing it to you. So that's, you know, what I share with people.
I hear that a lot here in my own household with my daughter temporarily being back with us, and she's very mindful and does a lot of mindful practices. So for the listeners who might want to get in touch with you and talk to you more about your speaking and some of the other things that you're doing, how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, great. They could either go to my website, and there's a section for speaking, or they could just email me at info@recoveringhealthcare.com, or they may even call me at 760-579-2440.
And you are actually taking this whole concept into a retreat after the beginning of the year. You want to talk a little bit about your Radiant Soul Retreat and what
it's
all about and who it's meant for?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm very excited about this retreat. It's called Radiant Soul Retreat, Embrace Your Divine Feminine Wisdom and Unleash Your Inner Rebel. So we reconnect, align, and soar. And it is going to be for professional, executive, corporate, and entrepreneurial women. And it's for the busy woman who thinks that they're busy, they have everything going for them, but life just doesn't seem to have, it's like lackluster. It's like it's not what they thought it would be, or they feel like this is not, you know, they stepped off the bridge and they're like, this is not what I had in mind. So this is about how we could really shift that and make that even more yummy and juicy for them, and really, really reconnect with who they are on an inner level. You know, their deep dark, you know, back to your soul, you know, your innate knowing, which I think is probably our rebel in disguise. It's sometimes we suppress the rebel, but it's the truth of who we really are at a deep level. And it seems rebellish when it comes out, especially if we're not really aligned with our soul and what we are doing. So it's about embracing that part of ourselves and allowing that to shine forth and making creating our life from that point. And it's going to be February 15th through 17th, and it's going to be held at the Omni La Costa Resort and Spa in San Diego. It's actually in Carlsbad. It's north of San Diego. And it's a two-day deep dive into you. And the yummy parts of things are like you get a session with me beforehand so we could work on what you want to work on so you could get your most, I call it bang for your buck while you're on retreat. And we also, I'm limiting this group to about 10 women, so it's really intimate, and we're really going to be spending a lot of time together. And so with that in mind, I've negotiated really good room rates for people to stay on site, to allow themselves to process and give themselves the time that they need to really nurture and take care of themselves. And I opted to do this on a Thursday and Friday versus a weekend, because I think in every women's busy life, we'll say, well, wait till the weekend to do that. No, it's about taking time out during your busy week so we could start getting you to maybe start integrating doing this during the week. It's not a this or that, it's a this and that. So allowing you mm-hmm. to mold that together and get into the flow of that. And so one day we're going to do really intensive experiential processes and learning more and more about ourselves individually, but also as a group as well, because we know when you're in a small, intimate group, there's usually a common thread that goes through the group. And it's all they're all there for a reason, but it's just like you know that they were all supposed to be there for whatever reason too. It's kind of a little esoteric thing. And the best part is on Friday we get to go to the spa and we get to nurture ourselves.
There you go.
There you go. So yes. You know, it includes a day pass to the spa, but also during that day I will be doing one-on-one sessions with each person individually, and I have a crystal light therapy bed that helps balance out people's chakras and helps them really get integrated and helps with the integration process as well. So they'll be doing that. It includes, you know, two meals or two lunches and a dinner and, you know, snacks. Of course, they're going to be healthy because that's just what I am. I'm into like the healthy mm-hmm. nutritional type stuff. And after the workshop, you know, I'm going to be offering a half an hour, you know, reintegration into the world type of thing about a week or two after. I'll give them a follow-up call and a follow-up 30-minute session just to see how things are going and stuff that. So, yes, I'm very excited about this, and there's just a lot of different topics we're going to cover. Even, you know, we talk about forgiveness, and we're going to even touch on that as well and do a burning ceremony that's going to help release a lot of things that are caught up in people's world. So they're going to have a great takeaway with being able to function in a different capacity, but also be more alive and more present. And,
yeah,
you know, just be able to have a better enriched life. So
yeah.
I'm very excited about that.
And so when you're out speaking, and is this something that is so close and dear to your heart? Is this one of your major signature talks when you're out on the speaking trail?
Yes, it is. It's, you know, to me, it's really about us as individuals, you know, stepping into our power. You know, we've given our power mm-hmm. away so often in life. And, you know, I've seen this in healthcare just because that's my profession, that, you know, society as a whole has given their power away to somebody who has a white coat. And it's just like, to me, it's kind of frightening because, you know, I see both sides to the story. And sometimes the individual need and the individual is not really taken into consideration. Things in Western medicine have a tendency to be standardized. So it's like they try to do the same thing for the masses. And what I remind people, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's almost like they give you a pill for a symptom, and then the byproduct of taking that pill requires another medication to sort of offset that. That's just what it seems like to me.
And it's very true because, you know, and I'm going to just explain this a little further. It's like when you take humanity, okay, and I describe mm-hmm. humanity as this really yummy fruit salad. Every fruit that you could imagine in the universe is in this fruit salad. You know, everything, there's different fruits. No two are alike. And so in Western medicine, what they try to do is take that big, yummy, diverse fruit salad and change the whole thing into one fruit, like an apple. And you
uh-huh.
cannot do that. Okay? And so that's, and the thing is they believe that having standardized care so it could be regulated is a way to measure things. Well, you have so many themes and variations of people's physiology is different. you know, their whole genetic makeup's different. And then add on the fact, too, of like how they deal with things emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Those are all different variables that are not taken into consideration. So it's interesting that, you know, science needs to have a formula to make this, you know, everything fit in. But there's so many non-measurable things right now that they don't have a way to measure that. And they probably won't for many, you know, decades to come. So they're doing the best they can with what they have, but it's not working.
And are you bringing this message into the medical community too? Because it seems to me that this is the beginning of a growing trend where people are looking at a more holistic approach to medicine, that maybe the last ones to come on board are the doctors in the white coats.
Right. Yes, I do. I do share that. And the thing is that these are the truths that I've witnessed. And so when and even as a healthcare provider, I've really had to really keep my mind open and really trust my inner instincts on things, because some things just didn't feel right. And I'll just give you a I'll share an example from from me. This earlier this year, I went and got my annual checkup like every woman should. So I walk my talk. it's important for people who are going to teach this stuff. They need to walk their talk. So went and had a mammogram, and you know, I know my body extremely well. And so I got a call back from the radiologist. You need to come back in. We need to reexamine the right side. I said, okay, great. And I'm thinking, all right, you know, no big deal. So they did an even more profound mammogram. That means that they really smashed my breast. But they also did an ultrasound where they really dug in. So I was in pain for like a good week after that, trying to look for whatever they looked at. So I'm going to share one thing. Since they got the new mammogram, the digital things, it shows everything. It shows calcifications in arteries, especially, you know, when women are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, all those normal tendencies for aging, you get like, you know, a little plaque buildup in your vessels and stuff. That gets picked up on the mammogram.
Wow.
So I just knew that, okay, and I'm looking at it, and of course they're stoic because they can't say anything because, you know, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, this is just so awful. And I'm a medical professional, so I know like the idiosyncrasies of this. And so they said, well, we can't find anything wrong there. If there's something that we can't define, but I think you need to go to a surgeon and get a biopsy. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not going to happen, folks. So I just kind of sat there, but I could see how somebody who wasn't a medical profession gets led down this rabbit hole of doing things that probably were not necessary, but they're so scared to death that they listen to what's outside of themselves instead of what's inside of themselves. So I ended up going and getting thermography. So I don't know if you're familiar with thermography, but it's not really, quote, the standard of care for diagnosing any type of illness, but it's really non-invasive. And what it does, it measures your body temperature through a camera, and they could determine if there's a flare-up someplace. So I had a baseline of that in April, and then I went back and had a repeat in July, and there was nothing there, just as I anticipated. So, of course, my primary doctor says, well, are you going to want to do this? I said, no, I'm not. I said, because I don't believe there's anything there. So what I'm saying is that little voice inside of myself knows myself very well. It's when people give their power away. And I could, like I said, being there, I could see how somebody with no medical background would go in there and just be mortified and just think, oh my God, and react, instead of really, you know, widening back and just checking in with themselves. So I feel that that's a a big pivotal point. And just a step, and you know, one thing else I wanted to add, there was research that came out probably around the same time that there's been over a million misdiagnoses with breast cancer because of the same thing. So they were false positives. But see,
and
the medical profession.
We only have a few moments left.
Okay. Well, let me just summarize this. It's like the medical professions, just really need to pay attention to this, because I know that they're in fear mode, because if they don't do X, Y, and Z, they might get sued, they might lose their license,
right,
especially if they're employed by an institution. So there's a lot of fear going on there, too. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, boy, you've been a wealth of information today, Dolores. It's been fascinating to talk with you, and good luck with the retreat. And you can find that at your website, which is recoveringhealthcare.com.
And look for the events tab, and it'll bring you right there.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being our leading lady today. It was a fascinating conversation.
Thank you, Deborah.
And that is it for today. Our leading lady next week will be Sima Lieberman, diversity and inclusion and cultural change consultant. And her topic will be diversity. Listen, learn, and open your mind. I'm Deborah Simpson, host of Speaking with Influence. Thank you for spending time with me today and learning more about the art of speaking with influence. Remember the words of Napoleon Hill: think twice before you speak, because your words and influence will plant the seed of either success or failure in the mind of another.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.